Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
The Back Room with DJ Paddy, playing the best new indie, alternative, electronic, rock and punk.
To be brave, and I try not to send myself to the grave before I've seen it through. Wake up and decide, keep my eyes on the prize, and I won't even feel that my back's on your knife until I've seen it through.
To breach on the terms and conditions, the life that we see, trying to float life's a beach, and I'm drowning in the sea. I'm trying to stay cool and fight in the oncoming whitey. I don't smoke anymore, but I'm pretending that I do. So you think I'm cool.
And I'd live a thousand lives, and I'd die a thousand times, just to get one more chance at another by your side. Oh, I don't mind whatever my fate is, as long as I can reincarnate. And I'd live a thousand lives, and I'd die a thousand times, just to get one more chance at another by your side. Oh, I don't mind whatever my fate is, as long as I can reincarnate. And I'd live a thousand lives, and I'm dying a thousand times just to get one more chance, to get one more chance. Oh,
I'm working on it, I'm okay, but nothing in it. I'm open, I am my place in the coffin of my
Good evening, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM. This is The Backroom, kicking off with the K's and Gravestone, playing the best in indie, alternative, electronic, rock and punk. Every Thursday night, 6 till 7 here again. And my special guest this week is Dominic Masters of indie legends, The Others. Back from 2005, they've been going 20 years. They've got a new album, The Difficulties Understanding. I'm going to be chatting to him and playing some tracks from the album. Loads of great new music, of course. Also, music news, local national gig guide, new album releases, all that stuff. This is Cardinal Black, and this is new from them. This is Keep On Running.
For you to smile, we're together on this ride. The marbles say this feeling never ends, and it's you, yeah. Oh, it's you. Forms within the sweet reflection of the singing. The coldest heart never could resist the best of you. Every inch of you.
The Back Room with DJ Paddy, playing the best new indie, alternative, electronic, rock and punk.
Hey, this is Chris and Les and Jake, and you are listening to Sheffield Live.
Yes!
New music on The Back Room. Future sounds.
I wanted neon, but I got the street lights. I wanted charm.
I broke a mirror last year. I stepped under it.
They're from Australia. They're called Slowly, Slowly, Loving Them. That is Forgiven to Me. Managed to catch them at Leeds Key Club, actually, on Tuesday. Absolutely brilliant. Check them out. Before that, Cardinal Black, new from them. That was Keep On Running. Okay, we're going to be chatting to Dominic Masters from The Others shortly and playing a couple of tracks from the album. Before that, this is new from All The Young, and this is Demons.
Save me from the demons, my love. I won't let you down. I won't let you fall.
All The Young there. You're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM, and this is a back room. Okay, special guest tonight, Dominic Masters from The Others. 20 years ago, they released their debut album, and then called The Others. 2006, new album, Inward Parts, and then another one, Songs for the Disillusion, in 2013. Look at You All Now in 2023, and they have a new album now, and they announced it on Facebook. It's called Difficulties Understanding. This is a track from that, because you can be chatting to him straight after this. It's called Everything You Say.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to welcome Dominic Masters, lead singer of The Others, indie legends, in my opinion. Welcome to Sheffield Live. Welcome to the back room. And yeah, you've got a new album out, fifth album, and we're going to have a bit of chat about that. But, you know, it's been 20 years. And I think you were signed to Poptones back in 2004, the debut album. Let's just go way back to then when you kind of your music career, well, I don't know if it was your musical journey, probably started before that, but in terms of musical journey with The Others, yeah, how was that going back to that time now, thinking about music and what it was like, thinking about, because I remember it was quite an exciting time in terms of music. How?
So, right, you kind of got to go back in a time machine if you're a listener now and kind of got to think what the ground was like. Mm. So after I'd finished university, which was 1999, it was like a barren period of nothingness. Mm. Now, you know, it was sort of the bland end of the Oasis era. There wasn't the decent bands like Cast or Shed Seven in the mid-tier section. Mm. We were sort of right at the end, and it was Travis. Mm. You know, mm. We were at that end, and there wasn't much around at the time. Then around 2001, 2002, we had bands like Akara Cult, the Parkinsons, mm. 80s Beeline Matchbox Disaster, and the Libertines. So those four bands sort of had a scene within itself, and we had started in 2002, and we'd got some gigs initially supporting the Parkinsons, and then we kind of graduated slowly to be the Libertines support band for a couple of gigs. So we played with the Libertines at the infamous Rhythm Factory, which is now closed and turned into a pizza place.
At least it's not flats.
Yes, well, at least it's not flats, and the potential it could be converted back to a concert venue eventually. And then we played with the Libertines at those first shows that they ever did at Brixton Academy. We were first support, and Chaz and Dave were the main support.
I remember that.
You know, we weren't just opening for the Libertines. We were opening for Chaz and Dave. You don't get much better than that.
You don't.
And then from the Libertines, we went on to sort of Baby Shambles support and had a couple of supports with them for their first two introductory gigs. And then by then, we were signed. That whole period had taken us 3 years, and then we were starting our own revolution in what we saw in our eyes, being contemporaries then of bands like Baby Shambles. Pete was obviously just launching. And in that period, we got the first single out, This Is For The Poor, which got to number 42 in the UK charts and probably shocked Alan McGee at the time. He'd only printed 2,000 copies, or just over.
Yeah,
And we'd sold out every copy that was available. So if he'd done 3,000, we would have been probably up a bit higher, I would imagine, in the charts. But that had alerted everybody that, yes, we got to 42 on our first single, and Enemy had given us a single of the week kindly. Then we got signed for Mercury Vertigo Records, which is part of Universal. And then we had subsequent singles, Stan Bowles, Lackey and William. Stan Bowles got in at, I think, 36 in the UK top 40. William got in at 29 in the UK top 40. And Lackey got in at number 21. And we slightly missed out on our chance to play Top of the Pops by one place. And then we subsequently got awarded the New Musical Express Award, an NME Award in 2005, which is actually 20 years ago last month.
The John Peel Award, was it that for innovation?
Correct. Not bang on the money. We got the John Peel Award for innovation, and it was the first award for John Peel that was sort of put in his name. And I think the innovation thing was because we were pretty innovative when it came to doing the gorilla gigging, but also the fact that I put my mobile number on forums, and I put my mobile number on emails, and even on the front cover of the Williams single, I put my mobile number, so that the 853 Kamikaze Stage Diving Division, our fan base, could call me whenever they needed.
Who came up with that name?
Well, if we've got a bit of time, I suppose. The 853 Kamikaze Stage Diving Division started its early days, really, when through the early years, we didn't have sort of much luxury in terms of money available to put on decent parties. And most of them ended up in my flat. Jimmy and Johnny lived in Brighton. Mm. Martin's good lady wasn't too up on the idea of hosting quite a few people. So we'd kind of started those early parties at mine. And then it was more out of necessity. You've got to think, this is like 20-odd years ago. Phones were the big thing in those days, more than the internet, really.
They were.
And I think the Mardus, a band from the time, sing a song about revolution on the telephone. And it was very much like that. People could contact me, phone me, text me. They knew when the next concert was, where the after party was. And it meant that you kind of broke down barriers of this idea that there's some kind of hierarchy between a band and their supporters. So we kind of just sort of got rid of all that, got as much people as we could into dressing rooms so that they would have access, got as many people into the concerts for free in terms of guest lists, and also just made sure that the 853 would have access to us. And we thought by doing that, it would break down some boundaries. You could say it's kind of copycat of what The Clash did and maybe what the Parkinsons did. But we believed in the same ethos that people should have access and that we're not above them.
Yeah, yeah, sure. And, you did a few interesting grill gigs. I think you did it on, like, Tubes and things as well, didn't you?
Yes. Well, see, originally, this is how the gorilla gigs had started, is that we were playing, I think, White Light, White Heat, which was at Burlington Avenue, which was like a place in Mayfair. And they were really strict with reference to letting people in that were under 18. So it was like... there was no leeway. There was no flexibility or being agile. What had happened was seven kids from Ilford had turned up. They're all like 14 to 16. Yeah. They were like, look, it's Wednesday night. We've come all the way from Ilford, 8 o'clock, and they won't let us in. And you didn't tell us about this. I thought, fair point. Maybe I didn't put on there because I didn't know. And these were like our first couple of years coming up through the ranks. So it's like, all right, yeah, I understand. And they're like, what are you going to do about it? I thought, yeah, fair point. What am I going to do about it? Good point. So I went and found Jimmy inside, and I said, Jimmy, this is the situation. Jimmy said, all right, look, we can find a way. There's got to be an acoustic guitar here somewhere. Now, really, in most venues, there ain't an acoustic guitar, but in this venue, there was. And this old hippie sound engineer said, look, you can borrow this, but I want it back. So we go back, sit on the steps and say, yeah. I'm going to christen you Seven, the Ilford Seven. And they even have a thank you on the back of the first album to the Ilford Seven, because of the Ilford Seven, we started off our gorilla gigs. And then me and Jimmy looked at each other. We'd never done a gorilla gig before. This was our first, but we weren't going to let anyone know. And we proceeded to knock out six songs for the Ilford Seven and then went and did our sound check. And that's how it started.
I think even there's bands around now who doing, you know, band like Reverend of the Makers, for instance, where Sheffield will go outside of his guitar after the gig into the street, pop a follow out. People are still doing kind of things like that. But I think what you did was like you just did it in areas that people didn't think, you know, wouldn't think that happening. And
well, we certainly escalated it.
You did.
as the years progressed, and it was a fair old bit of publicity behind us at the time. So you were cranking it up in terms of each level to see what more craziness you could potentially deliver. So we'd started off lightly, like I said, and then proceeded to do a concert on the tube. So we managed to get about a 40-minute concert for the 853 Kamikaze Stage Diving Division from Hammersmith through to Liverpool Street. The police joined us at King's Cross and told us politely that we could play for the remainder of the journey going through to Liverpool Street. But at Liverpool Street, if we didn't get off, he'd have to arrest me. And I thought that was good bargaining on behalf of the police at the time. So we didn't object to their reasoning. I thought, yeah, fair play. You're letting us play for another 22 minutes going through to Liverpool Street. Most of the passengers on that train probably are a bit shocked with 200 853 dancing up and down to the songs of This Is For The Poor, Lackey and William. After we'd done that and that caused a bit of a stir, we thought, whoa, what else can we do? So we went and invaded the BBC. Not an easy task by all accounts, because you've got security guards as well, so it's quite hard. So we had to do a bit of forward planning on this. It was a bit like a Russian mission or something. And we'd staked out the buildings and realised that one of them, the security guards, were on the first floor, but not on the main reception. So we just invaded, set up shop, and proceeded to do the concert in the foyer, the admin office of the BBC, with 100 853 turning up in reception. And then John Peel came to watch the concert, but he just missed it. But we got to speak to him afterwards. And then probably our sort of final hurrah on the guerrilla gigging stage was when we decided to just plonk our equipment in the middle of Abbey Road on the crossing where the Beatles were. And we did a gig there for about 6 minutes before the cops got there and decided, look, this is not very good for road traffic safety, especially as we had like about 300 people at that stage. And they were rioting. There was buses going by all waving at us. But police, after about 5 or 6 minutes, they were well on the case, and rightly so.
It was such an amazing time, really fun times, and just doing things different and kind of pushing the boundaries, really. And I mean, like you say, you didn't get on Top of the Pops, but you nearly got it. You got to the BBC and did your own one, really.
Yeah, in that respect.
You can't let me on, I'm just going to do my own Top of the Pops, you know.
Well, yeah, that was our initial sort of thoughts. And then Steve Lamack put us on and we did a session with him. And then we subsequently got on the Friday Night Project. And we were on Pop World on Channel 4. So we did get a bit of MTV play and television play eventually, but not the bastion that is Top of the Pops.
Now, but you had the influential people like Steve Lamack, like John Peel, kind of rooting for you, and that, you know, and they knew everything about music. You know, these were guys who lived and breathed it, and
we're very grateful.
And tell me, there's something about Soapland as well as Tell me about that. How many soap operas did you get?
Well, this is down to Johnny's good cataloguing over the years. So Johnny Others, if those of you that may be uninitiated on the radio, he's the one that looks a bit gothic in the band and potentially has a similarity to Robert Smith from The Cure. Well, it's a weird one. So if you haven't got publishing, it's very rare that people pick you up unless you've got a publishing company going out touting your wares. So we weren't expecting much publishing at all. Really, we were expecting mechanical royalties and the in terms of over-the-counter and maybe some publishing from radio, and that would be about it, because there's no one flogging your wares and tears to an advertisement or to a film score, something like that. And then we got contacted by Hollyoaks. We were like so chuffed.
Yeah.
We were like dead chuffed. Hollyoaks were the first, right? And we just thought, brilliant, Liverpool gets it. So we got like a couple of times on Hollyoaks, played in the background, and then we moved up to being in the CAF in EastEnders.
Whoa.
When I knew I was in the CAF in the background at
EastEnders. Then you know you're there.
But then you know you've made it. You've really made it. And we got in the pub and the Rovers Return in the Coronation Street in the background there. And that was it. We had the Holy Trilogy.
Perfect. And did you get on the credits as well? Were the credits long?
I don't think you get on the credits. But just to put this in perspective, like people think, okay, like that must be good money.
Yeah.
So it's classified as a C grade listing. Okay. So you get
like
A grade, B grade, C grade,
uh-huh.
B grade. And that was qualified as a C grade listing. And we got £50 for each episode that it was played on.
Okay.
And then you would divide the £50, rightfully so, between the four of us.
Yeah,
about £12.50 each.
Did you get a free beer in the Rovers Return?
We weren't invited to play, but it would have been a cracking place for a guerrilla gig.
It would have been. Dominic, so let's go into the present day. Fifth album.
Yes.
You surprised everybody by putting it out on Facebook that there's this album called Difficulties Understanding. And it's a great, great album. I mean, I've been playing it quite, you know, everything you're saying for the living are the two tracks for me, which is like, I love them. They're just great tracks. You know, I'm sure you're very proud of this album. Tell me about kind of the process of writing this album.
Yeah. I mean, look, I know everybody you ever interview says this album, this is the one for me. I'm just telling you. But really, it's weird. It's like it really is. It's taken sort of five albums to get here, and then you get the album that you kind of always wanted.
Yeah.
So things had changed a bit over the years. So as you may have seen from the old days, we were always a four-piece. And that was for the first two albums.
Yeah.
Then Martin, he had some health problems where he was fainting a lot and when he was drumming, and the doctor said, you can't do this anymore. So he had to leave for health reasons. And that's where we got Joe in from Sunderland, and he'd been our drummer ever since, Joseph Gardner-Lowe. And that kind of moved our game up a bit in terms of capabilities, because he's more like John Bonham. You know, he can cover his whole rack. And by 2013, for the third album, we'd brought Eddie in from Estonia, and he plays bass and guitar. So that sort of changed the sound a bit in the third album.
Yeah.
By the time we'd hit the fourth album, we brought in the keyboard player, Steph, and he's like a professional keyboard player, but he wanted to, you know, instead of being a session musician, he wanted to be in a band. He came in and joined us, and then I finally got my wish, my best friend in my band. Now, this has always been a hard sell, okay? You got to understand, when your band's got two bass players, three guitarists, why would we need another bass player?
Fair point.
Hard sell to your band, but I just always had this feeling that Steve should be in my band. You know, he's my best mate.
Yeah.
And I sold it for the fourth album, and it really worked, where we changed the writing process, where Steve would then play bass, and it would allow Johnny and Eddie to concentrate purely on guitar, and Jimmy on guitar. So you got three guitarists writing, a bass player writing, and a keyboard player writing, but the bass underpinning everything. That fourth album, which was Look At You All Now, we were all really happy with.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the writing process came for this album at the end of 2023, we didn't really have any songs written. It was just purely just getting together with all of the different writers. And we wrote constantly from August through to December. And then we recorded the album in February. And then it took most of last year to go through the mixing, go through the mastering. And then we put it out, obviously, on the 9th of February for everyone to listen to for free. So we put it on Spotify for free, Bandcamp, and on YouTube.
Yeah.
In terms of the album itself, it's eight songs. I just feel it's got a really nice sound to it. It just has a really good feel to it. And we can kind of tell by who's listening to it. So normally our figures are slightly a bit more down than they are at the moment in terms of Spotify or YouTube streams. But in terms of at the moment, it's rocketed. And compared to what we saw with people listening to it for the fourth, it's a whole different league. So we think we might have hit a good nerve.
Excellent. And you're going to take this. You're not going on tour, but you have a gig at the 100 Club in London, 22nd of this month. That must be kind of exciting to play. And how you feeling? How you feeling about?
Well, it's like when you're an old chap and you're 47. And you didn't really think you would be playing these kind of venues again. It is nice. Because it does hark back to the past. So we had two opportunities to play there, both in 2005 and 2006. And we had great gigs there. They're pretty mental. Lots of balloons flying around, if I remember rightly. So we haven't actually played the venue for like 20 years. So what we're going to do is to try and do a long set where we do the album in its entirety, the first album, the others, play all the songs in its order. And then we'll do, say, 12 to 14 tracks afterwards, which will be the fourth album, the fifth album, and some of the sixth album from next year. And then after the sixth album next year, we're taking a rest.
Okay, are you going to tour? I think. How are you feeling about that? Or are you going to do some guerrilla gigs?
It's a tricky one. So I've got to be absolutely transparent with people. I think fans sort of say, "Oh, we don't want to tour," or they put some excuse on top of the real reason. So with us, we're just always very transparent and tell people. So I got a job, just a sales job. Jimmy works in a care home helping old people, and he strums his guitar and plays some tunes for them and helps them sort of well-being and stuff like that.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah.
Johnny does a lot of stuff with nature, and he looks after newts in conservation kind of stuff. Eddie is in Estonia, and he serves both in the army and he has a job out in Estonia working in a factory. Joe is for 9 months of the year is a professional tour manager for bands like The Mission. Chameleons he works with, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Steph is literally working 6 days a week playing keyboards for many different bands. To get
so
it,
therefore it's quite difficult to do that, isn't it?
So I'm always transparent with people. It's like, yeah, we'd love to tour, but it's trying to go, okay, everyone, can you all get a week off work? Can we get this done at the same time? Can all the planets come together? And at the moment, we found over 5 years just getting 2 weeks rehearsals together and one concert a year and an album together is pretty much a push for us oldsters.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Dominic, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today. The album's great, and it's just been lovely to kind of hear kind of back to those times and, you know, the stuff that your band achieved and are still achieving and still making records and getting it out there. So, yeah, brilliant.
I really appreciate you having me on for live. And, you know, hopefully if we ever get back to the North again, which we hope so, you know, we did play Frog and Parrot.
It's still there.
We played there for Tramlines about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And then in the old days, we played the Foundry and the Lead Mill when we were a bit more popular. But hopefully one day someone will have us back in Sheffield.
I'm pretty sure they will, Dominic.
Fingers crossed.
Thanks so much.
Likewise. Thanks for your time.
So that's for the living. Thanks to Dominic Masters, Some the Others. Great guy to chat to. That album, Difficulties Understanding, is out now. Yeah, not the winner, not the winner. Okay, it's time to do some music news.
Music news.
So it appears that Radiohead are set to head out on tour at some point late this year. As reported by Resident Advisor, allegedly four tickets to a Radiohead concert of your choice have been donated by a company called Blue Eyed Pictures to a Los Angeles fire relief auction run by Palisades High School. Now, the fire relief auction closed yesterday with a listing for the ticket explaining that the highest bidder will be able to choose their preferred city and date based on the tour schedule. The outlet also reported the close source to Radiohead confirmed to them that Thom Yorke and Co. have placed hold in select European cities for a run of residency gigs in the autumn. The Cure's Robert Smith, he's been announced as a curator for the 2026 edition of the Teenage Cancer Trust gig series. The iconic frontman has been a long supporter of the charity series, which is held at Royal Albert Hall, having previously performed two classic shows in 2014 and in 2006. He was also heavily involved in the TCT's Unseen campaign during lockdown, helping the charities raise funds for those struggling during that period. It won't be his first time taking the reins at a live music event either, as he also created the lineup for the 2018 edition of Meltdown Festival, which was held at the South Bank Centre and saw performances from the likes of Mogwai, Psychedelic First, The Church and Nine Inch Nails. That's the music news. Okay, this is Cleopatra, their album. They were on the show last week, and their new album Fake Moon is out now. This is Bad Guy.
Be the bad guy again. I don't wanna be him. Please don't make me be the bad guy again. Not him.
Currently on tour in the UK, that is Cleopatra. Great new album, Fake Moon, that is out. Okay, let's do some gigs, see who's playing Sheffield this week.
Local and national gig guide.
Alabama 3 are at the Foundry tonight, the Mary Wallopers are at the Octagon, and the Intersphere are at Corporation. If you go out to Home Firth Pitchdome tomorrow, Dread Zone are out there. And if you come back into Sheffield, you've got Homeboy, Sadman and Kick Acne at Sydney Batilda. We Hate You, Please Die. Not a nice band name, but still, they're playing the Washington. Saturday, Kim Wilde and Cutting Crew is at Sheffield City Hall, the Hoosiers. Are our network. Girls Don't Sink at Tank Nightclub and Benefits playing Bear Tree Records. Sunday, the Silverfield at Bishop's House. Monday, Chris Brain at the Lantern Theatre. And a Wednesday, Public Service Broadcasting and She Drew the Gun play Sheffield Octagon Centre. Some bands that have announced Above and Beyond are back. It's been a few years, I think 2017, since their last album. Common Ground, and they have announced Brixton Academy in London on November the 15th, and maybe they'll play some more, who knows. Matt Berninger from The National, he's doing a solo tour. He's Manchester Albert Hall, 26th of August, with Romboy in support. And James are doing a warm-up show at Middlesbrough Town Hall on the 30th of April. Those tickets go on sale tomorrow at 9:30. Okay, just tell you about some new albums out tomorrow. The Horrors, new album called Nightlife. Japanese Breakfast, a new album called Melancholy Brunettes and Sad Women. Lottery Winners are back with a new album called Coco. And Stray Kids, Mixtape Dominate, that is out tomorrow as well. That's it for me tonight. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Dominic Masters from the others. And tune in next week. I'm going to be chatting to indie legend and from the whole steady, Craig Finn. I'm going to play out tonight with People of Substance on his new solo album, Always Been, which will be out on April the 4th. So tune in for that. Have a good evening. See you next week.
Dana, don't get depressed anymore. So possibly December at the Delaware shore. Maybe missing numbers on the motel doors. The toy section at this drugstore. Otherwise I'm pretty much cured. Been getting out of bed before noon now. Gonna find a new place pretty soon now. The whole thing's moving uptown. And I'm sorry about the way that I scared you. I'm sorry that I wasn't in touch since. Spent way too much time on people without any substance. I decided I'm gonna push forward. I'm committed to making the change. But you gotta remember I never go out in the rain. And it's been raining all day and my jacket got nicked from the coat shell. The curtains can't keep out the gray. The umbrellas that you get at the drugstore always blow the wrong way. Day and I don't drink nearly as much. One or two nights at the week at the most. I know I used to be such a monster. The city still allows you ghosts. I'm sorry about that fight in the taxi. You know that probably just wasn't my night. If you just agree to come see me, I can try to make it alright. I decided I'm gonna back off now. Heard you turn that old boy into a husband. Now you're out in the county hanging out with some people with substance. Done with the breakdowns, but the winter's pretty weird at the shore. You never really told me what it was you cut me off for, and I'm still not sure. So I decided that I'd call and just check in if I was good enough for you back then. You shouldn't be ashamed to bring me around to your new friends. I've been asking around for some sort of system to trust in.